This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name's Nicole and I'm from Brisbane in Australia. I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and had just begun yet another attempt at a non-drinking stint when I discovered the Over the Influence podcasts. The timing couldn't have been better. I binge listened to them all, joined the OTI community and have never looked back. If, like me, you've tried and tried to put down the plonk, but even after some success, keep finding yourself pulled back into the mire, join us in the OTI community, where we all share our stories of what works and what doesn't and where we're currently at. Everyone's just so full of understanding and inspiration. In a few weeks, I'll reach a whole year without a single drop, and I can't thank the OTI community enough. You guys rock and make all the difference in the booze-free world.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to another episode of Over the Influence. It is wonderful to have your company. Thank you for listening. If you are joining us for the first time, allow me a moment to reintroduce ourselves. My name's Sharon Hartley, aka Shaz or Shazza, call me what you like. I used to be a bit of a big drinker. I won't give you the whole history. Basically, I took a break from alcohol 1,003 days ago. Woohoo! Only set out to do 90 days, decided to have a little bit of a break from booze. It went that well. Here I am today chatting to you about alcohol-free life. And yes, I have just hit 1,000 days. I'm not doing this by myself. I couldn't do this by myself. I am joined by my glamorous co-host, Freddie, who is in the future. Morning, Freddie.
Good morning, Sharon Hartley, aka Shazza, aka Shaz, aka the Queen of Sobriety. I bow down before you, Sharon Hartley. It is a pleasure to be here with you all. Yes, I am once again calling you from the future in New Zealand. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Freddie. I am 39 years old. Once upon a time, a very hard-drinking, hard-partying guy in the city who was definitely not very happy with life. Gave up alcohol 820-ish days ago. Woo-hoo. Since then. Broke a few world records, ran across some deserts, moved halfway around the world, started some businesses, and I am now proudly the only person in the world who gave up alcohol and is heavier and poorer right now than when I was drinking. So I am very happy about that, and I'm very, very excited about our guest today. We're going to take things in a totally different direction, but before I introduce our guest, there is obviously one more member of this sober threesome.
I was going to call him the third
that did
wheel.
Not, that did third wheel or member of a threesome. Either way,
either
not
or.
A good way to describe him. So let's let him introduce himself.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, everyone. Hello, I'm Ben, and I'm the producer of this podcast. As it is now June, how did that happen? By the way, quick side note: next month I will be a year alcohol free.
Get out!
Wow.
It's either the 4th, 6th, or 8th of July. I need to check that. But it's one of them. I can't remember which one it is. But yeah, nearly a year alcohol-free. I have lost weight since giving up booze. I'm now 3 stone lighter than I was this time last year.
Fantastic.
Which I'm quite chuffed with. And I am, I mean, you know, not rich. But at the same time, I was talking to our plumber who's considering going alcohol-free. We're having our bathroom redone this week. And he was like, how much money did you save, lad? How much money did you save? And I said, well, I was always the guy that bought the first round at the bar. And then because everyone else was drinking too slow, I'd then go and buy the second round. I've saved hundreds, if not now, nearly
thousands.
A year in, probably thousands of pounds.
Thousands.
Because I'm not buying alcohol all the time. I mean,
and
I'm
you know
able
what?
To go anywhere.
It's just probably a timely reminder. I just want to say, you know, when we started doing this podcast 12 months ago, Ben, you were background Ben. And I've been listening back to some of our earlier podcasts. You were literally sort of like sat in the background, piping up every now and again. What happened? You know, we got under your skin and in your ears that much. You thought, for crying out loud, I'm just going to try this alcohol-free life. And here you are. And it warms my cockles that you are nearly 1 year alcohol-free.
Loving it. I originally set out to do 3 months, then thought, oh, this feels good. Let's do six. Oh, you know what? Done six now. 12 will be easy. And it is, actually. It gets easier every day that goes by. Anyway, enough about me.
I'm glowing.
And by the way, I did love that plumber impression. I didn't know your plumber was a pirate, but lovely impression there. And again, I'm just so happy about that time that I got inside you. A few months ago, Ben, and I'm glad that you're still enjoying it. But anyway, let's move on to the most...
I'm glad our guest is laughing. Some guests would not be laughing, and they'd be clicking end meeting, leave meeting room right now.
And let me take us on to our guest as well. And our guest is obviously the most important person on this show, and will hopefully speak a lot more sense than the three of us. This man is someone that I met quite recently, but I was aware of for a while, and I was certainly aware of his products as well. Johnny Johnson, it's amazing to have you on the show. I am very much inspired by what you have done, what you imagined when you took a break from alcohol, what you've achieved, and what you're going to continue to achieve with your product. And I really believe that you are well on your way to disrupting the whole alcohol-free industry and the alcohol-free drinks industry especially. And I'm super excited. I think we're going to take the conversation in a totally different direction to some of our other guests. And that's what we love doing on Over the Influence. It's bringing in real guests, real stories, totally different approach. And yeah, we're very excited about this one, and I certainly am as well. But it'd be great, first things first, Johnny, to just have you introduce yourself and say hello and give a bit about who you are.
Of course. Well, firstly, thanks for having me on the podcast. Yeah, I'm really excited. So I'm Johnny Johnson. I am the founder of Unlimited, the alcohol-free beer. I gave up booze for 3 months back in 2019 after... Similar sort of story to you, Freddie. I worked in the city, I partied hard, I played hard, I was hungover most weekends, and I hit 30, it started to really take its toll, and I got married and I thought I'd better grow up, so I decided to take a break from booze, and then in that break, I sort of had my second birth, if you like, and it was like, yeah, the curtains opened up, and I had a new lease of life, and I've always wanted to start my own business, and I thought, what better thing to start a business in than alcohol-free beer?
I love that, and I think this is one of the reasons why it's so unique, because I think a lot of people take a break from alcohol and they think, and it's brilliant because it makes you realise what is possible. And some people are like, yeah, you know, I'll maybe do a 5K, or maybe I'll, write a blog or something like that. You were just like, bang, I'm going to make my whole alcohol-free drinks brand. And it's so powerful. And also I love it because I think many of us, even in the drinking days, with my mates, we were like, yeah, we should make a drinks brand and we'll have it in all the bars and everything else. And that was usually probably after about 10 drinks of something or other. And then you wake up the next morning and you think, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I know it's a bloody tough thing creating a physical product from scratch. And we'll certainly cover that in more detail. I'd love to start off, if I may, about, that city lifestyle that you were in. And again, it's one that I'm certainly familiar with. But what did your drinking look like, and when did you start to think it was time to take a break from it?
So I guess I probably started drinking when I was probably 16, 17 in the park with my mates. Drinking was just sort of the whole culture of Britain at that time. So it was every weekend was spent going out, going to pubs, clubs, doing that sort of stuff. And then I started working in the city in about 2000. When did I start working in the city? Probably about 2013, it was a sales, direct selling role. So it was quite a fast-paced, high-pressure job, but there was all young people working in the company as well. And we used to go out with clients, used to have lunches with them, dinners with them, go out with colleagues on a Thursday, Friday, and then go out with my friends on a Saturday night. And it was an interesting podcast that I listened to previously with Andy Ramage, who I know you've had on. He mentioned...
The legend?
Yeah, he mentioned like about, there was probably, in that 7 year period that I was working in the city, there probably wasn't longer than about 2 or 3 days where I hadn't had a drop of alcohol, whether it was just a pint or a glass of wine. And it was a bit of a shock when I actually realised that. And I was thinking, blimey, you know, probably 70% of the time, my body's got alcohol in it. And but you don't really realise how much it's affecting you until you take a break. So, that was sort of the lifestyle. It's fast-paced and just going on benders. And then, as you know, when you hit 30, hangovers just get worse and worse. And
you want to try 40, Johnny, 30? Dear God.
But I think you're right, Johnny. And, yeah, that's a world that I came from as well. And I know I'm not going to get political by any stretch of the imagination. I know some people maybe have a perception of people that work in those kinds of careers, in those kinds of places like London and everything else. And it gets a bad rep. And again, it's not my place to say whether those companies are good or bad or anything else. But what I will say is that what really caught me up when I was in that environment, it literally is intoxicating. And I'm not just talking about the alcohol. I know it's the pressure, it's the energy, it's being, you know, with this team that's very close-knit, and you're all working hard and you're all trying to hit goals and hit targets, and you can feel unstoppable. And that's certainly how I felt. And then you're like, yeah, you know, you get this deal, and then you go out and celebrate, or you take clients out, and then you know, and you think, I can do this. Yeah, I only need 2 hours sleep. I can do that. It isn't even the alcohol is a key part of it, and obviously everything else that goes with that kind of lifestyle as well. But it is that whole mindset that you get into, especially when you're young, when you think, you know, my body can take it. I don't need sleep. I don't need rest. I can just power through, get on the drinks, don't want to miss out. And before you know it, I say, and that's where I found myself, a year or 2 years has gone by, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you just think, I look and feel like shit, and yeah, that's going to work.
Well, and it doesn't help because, you know, there's bars and pubs like every 50 yards in London. Like you said, with the social pressure, if everyone, you know, all your colleagues are going out after work, if you're not going, then you can be a bit of an outsider, right? So you just get involved.
Definitely.
But yeah. But I think another thing I realised was that, you know, realistically, on a, you know, my spare time was Saturdays and Sundays when you're not working. And all of my spare time was spent sort of being hungover on the sofa, feeling crap, not doing anything productive. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm in the time that I've got to actually live the life I want to live, I'm not doing anything. I'm literally wasting away. And then I work for someone for 5 days a week, you know, and it was a bit of a wake up call. I thought, you know, family and friendships, relationships, you know, they all started to get affected by it. So yeah, something had to change.
It's so true, Jack. Me and you've got very similar stories, I think, because you don't necessarily have to have that rock bottom moment to decide that you want to reevaluate your relationship with alcohol. Was it a slow process? Was it kind of like over a period of time, or was it like one weekend where you were just like, for God's sake, what am I doing here? And have that kind of light bulb moment of realization.
I think it was a few weekends, one after the other. The moment came after my wedding. Me and my wife had a wedding party in London, and I don't know how many shots of tequila I had. I must have had about 10 shots of tequila. And you can imagine how I felt the next day. But I was physically ill for about 5 days, and I felt really bad. God. But then it shocked me, because one of my friends who used to be, you know, he was a bit of a boozer with me, he just sort of said, oh, you know, you've done a couple of things that are probably a bit, you know, over the edge. And I thought, that was on my wedding night, you know. And I thought, that's not a good look. And then because I felt so ill, I thought, you know, I think those few weekends in a row, it just sort of compounded, and I was like, right, I think I'm just going to take a break for a bit. But then I started to research that alcohol-free, and started to listen to podcasts like yours and listen to other people's stories. And it shocked me by all these people, because a couple of years ago, the 99% of the population drank, and you didn't really know anyone. I didn't know anyone who didn't drink. But when you start to look into it and you start to find out more and more people that don't drink and how happier they are and how much sort of, you know, how better their lives are, it was sort of like, oh, that's interesting. And then you listen to more and more stories, and then it's just like, they're really inspiring stories. And then it's sort of, that's what motivated me just to keep going.
Johnny, what was the reaction? Well, first of all, from your wife after the wedding day, if you don't mind me asking a personal question. And then from your wider circle, it sounds like, you know, we've all overshared a lot on this podcast, and we always put ourselves at the centre of any party. We're the biggest drinkers, first to start the conga, first at the bar, first to fall asleep, all that. It sounds like, you know, you enjoyed a good social life. What was the reaction from your wife and from your circle of family and friends when you said, you know what, I'm just going to take a break from booze? How did it go down?
I think every single person said to me, yeah, all right. Yeah,
I'll
see what I can leave. Johnny, our stories are so similar.
Honestly.
Yeah. So tequila was also my shot, to the point where me and my girlfriend would go out, and she put a limit, because she said, you're fun after one tequila, you're a bit of a pain in the ass after two, you're never allowed more than two shots of tequila on a night out. And I also had the exact same reaction from people.
He had 10 at his wedding night. I need to know more.
But do you know what we did? So we had... like this bar, we had like a minimum spend at this bar place that we hired, and it was towards the end of the night, and I can't remember this because I was completely out of it, but they said, oh, you know, you haven't spent up to your limit, and then apparently I said, all right, just fill up the buckets with champagne.
Oh, God.
And so we got the bar bill back about a week later, after I'd sort of just about recovered from the hangover, and the bar bill was... just extortion. Well, it's a lot more than what I thought than the minimum was. So I questioned it. I said, "There's something not right here." And they actually said, "No, we've got CCTV of you asking for the champagne. It was brought out in these buckets, and then it was left on the bar. And they said, look, you can take them home, and we just left them all there. We're not going to take, you know, I think it's like 10, 20 bottles of champagne." And they literally opened them, and then just, they were left. No, because no one was left at the party.
Oh, my God.
And then they just poured it away. And I was just, that was a sort of another moment. I was thinking, oh no, it's like, you know, when I'm drunk, I just do such stupid things.
Great idea at the time, Johnny.
Yeah.
That is the thing I've always wanted to do. And I can still do it, and I'm sober. When you walk into a bar and you just say, champagne for everyone. And that is what you did, Johnny. And to see you've fulfilled one of my lifelong ambitions. So that's a positive one.
So yeah, so when I told my wife, she was like, okay, yeah, all right, I believe it when I see it. And then, I didn't drink for a week. And, you know, I would mention it. I'd be like, I haven't had a drink today. She's like, all right, well, you know, there's still tomorrow.
Yeah.
And but then I started getting quite biblical about alcohol-free, because I started listening to all these podcasts. And then, you know, because I'm quite an enthusiastic person. I used to work in sales, so I would always used to try and sell everything to everyone. And I used to tell my mates about it, and they're just like, you know, give it a rest. You know, you won't be saying this next week. But as time went on and I, you know, kept going, people started seeing a visible sort of improvement in me. And then it was more of a determination sort of factor. You know, people said that I wouldn't do it, and I was just like, no, I'm going to do this just to prove you wrong.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Oh, Johnny, people said to me, you know, the same, and Ben and Freddie will go, if you say to me, you will not do that, you'll not get through this first weekend, I'm like, right, hold my frigging glass of wine and watch this. Yes, I will. And you get quite bloody-minded about it, don't you? You know, I will not fail. I absolutely will not.
No, exactly.
Freddie, I feel like we haven't tested that out enough, actually. Like, Sharon, do not send me a £100 cheque in the post. Do not send me that cheque. Who writes cheques? Where's that come from?
Hello, 1982.
I tell you what, Ben, Shaz is going to be sending out telegrams in the post when people hit their 100 days of sobriety. Johnny, you may not be aware of this, Johnny, but when... and I'm going to plug it because it's probably the best idea I've ever had. You know, like when you get to be 100 and the Queen sends you a telegram and says, like, yeah, nice one, haven't died, good effort. Well, what's going to happen now is that if anyone hits 100 days alcohol free, then they get a telegram or a postcard from the Queen of Sobriety, Sharon Hartley, like, yay, actually through the post.
That's a great idea.
Isn't it just one of Freddie's...
She is ready with her quill in her hand, poised
something
and ready
like
to
that.
Go.
It's a brilliant idea, and I cannot wait. So, Johnny, send me your address. I'll happily send you a Queen of Sobriety postcard at any time.
I will do.
We digress.
So you had the, you know, the revelation that it might be time to take a bit of a break from the booze, and you did it against all the odds and against all the doubts and everything else. Then what happened in terms of starting to get that creeping idea in the back of your head for, you know, for the beer and everything else? Was it, you know, did you literally get it in the middle of the night? Was it a creeping revelation? How did that process go?
Well, I started to sort of evaluate my life about 3 weeks in, and I thought to myself, because it was really long hours I was working in the city. I used to leave home at like 5:30 and then get in about 8 o'clock. And then I just thought to myself, you know, I've just got married. My wife fell pregnant 2 weeks after I stopped drinking. So we found out she was pregnant. This is what happened. So I was evaluating my life, my work, and I was thinking, you know, do I want to be doing what I'm doing for the rest of my career? Do I want to be working these long hours, travelling into the city? Because I just got fed up of the training, the train home. You know, on the train, everyone's so miserable. You know, everyone just looks so depressed in the mornings, and it's just like...
And I was just thinking on that really quickly, Johnny, that you gave me a flashback that the tube journey or the train journey into London with a hangover is one of the worst things ever when you're desperate for a window seat so you can just have your head up against the cool glass or you're standing in the corner trying not to be sick. And it brings back all the
memories.
Many
train journeys like that. Many train journeys.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted. Carry on.
So then I took a day off work. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna think about a business. I'm gonna think through some ideas, see if there's any other jobs that I want to do. You know, or what do I want to do for my career? And so I took a day off work. I sat where I'm sat now, and my wife was at work for the day, and I just had a notepad, and I was sort of just brainstorming all different things. And by this time, I'd discovered alcohol-free beers, and realised how good some of them were. So like when you go to bars and restaurants at that time, the alcohol-free options were like, you know, it was only the two big brands and I didn't like them. But a friend recommended I buy some alcohol-free beers online from like the bigger retailers. And I got some in and was amazed. So I started researching about alcohol-free beer and saw it was, you know, it's a really growing market. I knew how big it was going to get just from my experience of going alcohol-free. Because I'm thinking, you know, I'm starting to feel great. As more and more people start, you know, take a break from the booze, they're going to feel this. And it's just going to, you know, snowball and snowball. So, yeah, and then I started researching about alcohol-free beers, realised that they can be quite nutritional if they're brewed in a certain way. But no brand really sort of promoted that. And, you know, a lot of the brands and a lot of the beers, all, you know, the branding, all is very similar, quite colourful, quite arty. And I was sort of used to drinking in bars in London, it wasn't so Shoreditch, it was more city bars, right? So it's just a different feel. So then I thought to myself, there's a bit of a gap. I thought I could see a gap in the sort of alcohol-free beer space by making, you know, a sort of a slick, sexy-looking brand, but also promoting the health benefits of the beer, which other brands didn't seem to do. So, because, you know, our beer's got vitamins B6, B12, low calories, low sugar, it's isotonic. So on days like today where it's the hottest day of the year, I was doing some gardening where I would normally have had a full strength beer in the afternoon and then, you know, be completely wiped out in the evening. I'd have a couple of alcohol free beers and I can carry on working in the garden.
What does isotonic mean, Johnny, before we forget and move on? Because I keep seeing word isotonic.
It basically means it hydrates your body. It's like water, right? So water is probably the most isotonic drink you can have because it sort of rehydrates your body. With alcohol, it dehydrates your body. So isotonic, it's basically, it hydrates your body so you can use a liquid as fuel.
Got ya.
They give you alcohol-free beers at, obviously I won't name the alcohol-free beer brands because I'm not going to take away from you, Johnny, but yeah, some alcohol-free beer brands do give away free pints at the end of marathons.
Mm. Yeah.
That's going to be our plan for you, Johnny. Yeah. At Manchester Marathon, I got a big big alcohol-free pint. We need to get you on the finish line of the London Marathon, Johnny.
Definitely.
Well, do you know what? I was scheduled to do one this Sunday, but our beer delivery from the brewery has been delayed and it's not going to get here in time because so today is our 1 year anniversary. We launched the website this time on the 1st of June last year.
Oh.
But we completely sold out of stock.
By the way, I feel like it's everywhere. Like I live in Liverpool, and I feel like I see it all the time. I can't believe it's just only a year old. Yeah,
that's it's great to hear because I'm, you know, for the last year I've been in my spare bedroom.
Johnny, what I find incredible about this, aside from all of it, is that, you know, just over 12 months ago, you were necking 10 shots of tequila on your wedding night, and you said to your family and friends, I'm taking a break from alcohol, and they went, yeah, whatever, see you at weekend. 12 months down the line, you are sitting here now, chatting to us on this Zoom call, drinking, I'm assuming, one of your beers on this call, one of your alcohol-free beers.
Yeah. It's a very sleek, sexy brand.
It's very sleek, it's very sexy. You didn't do this half-assed, did you, at all?
If it's going to work, I've got to throw everything into it. So, I didn't really have, I have no experience in doing anything like this. But I don't know, I guess when you just, I just had an idea and I've just thought, all right, I've got to run with it. Because I basically wanted to create a life for myself where I wasn't a slave to another business and that I could be at home with my family and I could work from home and just live the life I wanted to live, you know, that I wasn't living when I was in the city. So it's like, right, if I do this, I've got to do it properly. And it's just, you know, I've made loads of mistakes along the way, but it's it seems to be doing all right. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say.
No, it's amazing. And what I was going to say as well, John, I mean, yeah, the fact that obviously it's amazing that it's an alcohol-free beer brand and a damn good one at that. But what I also love, and I was just thinking as you were talking, I was in this position, and I know thousands of other people are in this position, where, I mean, I'm a big believer of, and again, maybe it's just me, I was drinking crazy amounts when I was working in the city. And despite what I was saying earlier about, like, you know, it's the energy and the team and all that kind of like quite alpha stuff, I also know deep down I was drinking a lot because I was pretty desperately unhappy and I was feeling trapped and I hated my job and I hated that commute and I hated being away from my family, but I didn't know how to change it. And that was a big reason why I was drinking as well. And I think a lot of people out there go through a similar process where they stop drinking for a while at least. And they say, right, is this how I want to live my life? Do I want to have a business? Do I want to have a different job and something else? But also, because I've been there, it's bloody scary. It's one thing saying, yeah, I'm just going to go and set up my own business and go all in and risk it. But it's another thing to actually take the action. And I know I think when you and me spoke another time, when you said, you know, when that first month when you're waiting for the paycheck to drop and you're like, oh, hang on, there isn't one of those anymore. It's really bloody scary. And I was looking to see a bit more about, you know, how you went through that process, that kind of like, oh shit moment when you're thinking, right, I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to quit the job and I'm going to follow the dream.
So, when my wife found out she was pregnant, she told me, just as I'd sort of fully set in my mind that I was going to, you know, start this business and quit my job. Because I remember on the day she told me, like you just said, I was in sort of turmoil. I was so stressed and anxious and, you know, I was hating work. I got quite upset on that day. I remember because I had to call my boss and I got home and it was probably one of the worst days that I'd ever had at work. And I got home and my wife had left this present on the kitchen island. And, you know, she saw how stressed I was that day. And then she had panic in her eyes. And I was thinking, what's wrong? And then opened up this box. And then there's the pregnancy test, positive pregnancy test. And then I completely broke down. But obviously I was so happy. But then it was just like, right. So I've decided I'm going to quit my job. But my wife's having our first baby. And I'm like, right.
No biggie.
But then it actually worked out really well I always plan to launch, as a time went on, I plan to launch in June 2020. Her due date was in end of April 2020. So I decided to take the 6-month shared parental leave, which is a new government thing that you can do, where I took work, I was off work for 6 months to help her raise our little girl Rosie. And but that gave me a 6-month period to also launch the business to a point where I could quit my job. So that's what I did. And in November, I went back to my work. but obviously we were sort of still in a bit of a lockdown, and I sort of worked up until January this year, and then handed in my notice. So it's, but you know, the shared parental leave pay, it was just statutory pay. It wasn't, you know, they didn't pay anything really at my job. But I forecasted it all out, and I worked out, you know, what money we've got, and then yeah, and then it's sort of just sort of grown from there.
That's so amazing. I think it's, I'm just trying to think of the words. So many people, and you see it on Instagram and social media everywhere, there's either the crowd that are just like standing in front of Lamborghinis and saying, oh, this is easy, just quit your job. Or the people that are just saying, yeah, follow your dreams. And that always used to really annoy me, because I'd be like, I'd love to follow my dreams, but I'm too scared. And there's this and there's that. And then there's a lockdown. And then, like you say, there's the kids and the mortgage and everything else. But the fact that you did it is bloody inspirational. And that's why I was so desperate to get you on here, Johnny, because it's a different kind of inspiration. It isn't, say, doing something like, oh, I'm going to run across a desert for a week. It's literally life-changing. And also, in a way, putting the life...
That's a pretty good feat, though, lifestyle.
Yeah. That's amazing. I don't know. I think I'm more scared of launching an alcohol-free beer brand. But I think the fact that you put your lifestyle on the line, really, with all of these things. And... But, no, and again, I know we've had this conversation offline, but I'll ask you online as well. You know, were there ever any moments
on
when...
On pod. I'll ask you on pod.
On pod. Ben's getting technical in the
background.
No,
that's... I've literally just made that up.
It sounded good, Ben.
Yeah, were there ever any moments, either in the early days or more recently, when you were just like, shit, this isn't going to work. What have I done? I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, every night I used to go to bed. I used to wake up in the middle of the night and just worry about it and think, you know, have I bitten off more than I can chew? I used to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd start work. This is before we launched. I'd start doing stuff that I knew that I needed doing, because Ben was saying at the start of the podcast, you know, it's literally spinning 1,000 plates every day. And like, a lot of plates fall down and break every day, but as long as you can keep spinning the majority of them. So there was always been worries and stresses, and there still are now, but it's a little bit more, I feel more comfortable now because most things are in place, but then there's still loads of things that are going to happen in the next few months, which are really scary as we start to scale up and pubs reopen. And, you know, it's that's a whole new challenge, because it's like, right, I set up the brand, but then, for instance, if we get into a big retailer, which we're hoping to do pretty soon, it's like, I need a lot of money to be able to make that amount of stock, and I haven't got that because I've but then, you know, if the business is going well, there's obviously options of doing that sort of thing. It was, so you mentioned about, you know, it's a lot of people are in work and they always think, you know, I want to do something else, but it's a bit of a risk. But I always, in my mind, I was like, I know how hard I worked for this company, and I sort of think, if I work that hard on my own business, it will succeed. And I think most people have got they've got what it takes to do something like starting their own business, or, you know, taking that leap. But it's scary, because obviously that's where, you know, that money comes in from work. It pays your mortgage, it pays your bills, it's safe. But yeah, but my point to that was that most people, I think, can do what they want to do, but they've just got to take the leap.
Hi, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and I just wanted to take this opportunity in the middle of another fabulous episode of Over the Influence to tell you that I'd really like to meet you face to face. Well, Zoom to Zoom, because every week I host 2 Zoom calls with members from our fabulous community where we chat about anything and everything, from what we thought about this week's Over the Influence episode to celebrating someone in the community who's just hit a milestone. If you're listening to this on a Monday when it comes out, then we could be chatting tomorrow. I do Zooms every Tuesday morning and Wednesday lunchtime, same time every week. And if you're listening later in the week, then you could be meeting Shaz on Friday night. Or if you're an early bird, you can join her first thing Saturday morning Zoom with lots of other fresh, sober faces. Basically, we're doing these things all throughout the week because we love meeting you and hearing about how you're finding sobriety. So if you'd like to meet us on Zoom and tell us your story, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and sign up as an OTI community member now. Of course, by becoming an OTI community member, you're not just getting loads of stuff to help you with your own sobriety, like the Zoom calls, the forums, OTI chat, OTI on the go, the masterclasses, and all the other great things that you get as part of your membership. You're also supporting us and our mission here Over the Influence, which is to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol by singing about the joys of sobriety from the rooftop. So if you're thinking of joining us, thank you. If you do join us, even bigger thank you. Look, it's great. Give it a try. And I can't wait to meet you on Zoom. Johnny, we've talked about your story. We've talked about the brand. We've talked about the story of the business. We're coming close to the end, and I'm glad for you that we're close to the end of this podcast, because I'm now going to mention a word that doesn't go down very well with the Queen of Sobriety, Sharon Hartley.
I'd like to talk
to you about moderation. Now, you might not have heard this, but in series one, we had an episode about moderation. This was before I went fully alcohol free. I said to the guys, look, I'm going to give this a go. And I came up with this, long story short, it was called 20 in 2020. I'm from the radio industry, so we start with a title and we work backwards.
It was a pile of shit.
it was a pile of shit, because it all went to shit during the first lockdown. But my plan was that I was going to have 20 days where I could have a drink in 2020. The rest of the days, the other 340, there we go, quick maths.
See, Johnny, he's zoned out. He's gone.
I wasn't going to do it. Anyway, look, long story short, moderation didn't work for me because then the global pandemic hit, and I was just thought, what a great excuse to get a load of beers in and drink pretty much every day during the first lockdown. Now, you gave up booze, you had a break from alcohol, you decided to start the beer brand, it's doing really well, but you now successfully moderate. And Sharon, I'd like to pass over to you at this point for your comments.
you absolute bugger.
Chucking that grenade.
I'm worried.
You know what?
Tell us more, because you've got quite strong feelings about it, haven't you?
Well, only because I know, Johnny, for a fact, and having tried this for many, many years, I can't moderate anything for shit. Sorry for swearing, but I can't. And alcohol, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, when I first gave up, people would say, just have one, you know, just have a couple. I can't. I simply cannot do that. And the noise that moderation creates for me in my head, which, again, we had a brilliant chat with Claire Pooley, alcohol-free, quickly, mega author. And she said, if you want to try moderation, just try it for 2 weeks and see how you get on. And if you can't do it, then moderation's not for you. I've been trying it for around 20 years. You know, won't have a drink on a Monday. Maybe if I start at 5 on a Saturday, or just have maybe a lemonade in between each. You see, the noise just, it does my tree in. So for me, moderation simply does not exist. However, on this podcast, we will talk about anything to do with drinking, alcohol-free. Nobody needs to be alcohol-free to be here and to listen to these conversations. And then when we had a little chat before and I heard that you could successfully moderate, I'm like, that, I'm just really quite envious. I think it's amazing. If you have got the ability to do that, you've tried. Obviously, we've talked about your drinking past, Johnny, which sounded colourful. And then you have done, you know, your alcohol-free stints, which have been incredibly successful. My God, you've created an alcohol-free brand. It doesn't get much bigger than that. Just tell us where you are now, because I'm a little bit envious and I'm really, really curious to know how you've got to this point where you are now.
Well, in a funny way, I guess actually going... creating an alcohol-free beer brand has probably helped, because I have to believe it. So I gave up for 3 months. I did 112 days in my first stint. Then I thought, but I set out to do 90 days. And I thought, right, I'm going to go and celebrate with my mate, my boozing mate who I used to grow up with. Went out, had 5 pints, completely regretted it the next day. Did another 3 months of not drinking. Now I'll drink probably once every 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. I'll have one occasion where I might have a couple of beers. But I know how, you know, my number was 4, Ben. You mentioned about the tequilas, but mine was 4 beers. If I had 4 beers, anything more, if I had 4 beers, that's it, tipping point, and I'll be out until 5 in the morning. But then I had so many occasions of being hungover that I hated it. So that's why I always think I could, you know, I just never want that lifestyle again. So in terms of moderation now, I don't sort of fall back on the wagon and then just quit the alcohol-free malarkey, if you like. I actually really enjoy drinking alcohol-free beer because it's, you know, some of the brands, and mine obviously, taste like normal beer. Yeah. So I get that satisfaction of drinking a beer. So I don't feel like I'm missing out. And, you know, I used to have beer fear. You know, I didn't always do stupid shit when I was drunk, but there was a high possibility that I would. So if I avoid that situation, then I'm, you know, I'm confident. And now I've got a little girl, and, you know, since not drinking, I'm like a super clean freak. I get so much stuff done in the house. I just like being productive, whereas before I was completely unproductive.
And with the hangover, that's it, isn't it? We're doomed.
Yeah,
I think it's really interesting because, as I mentioned, I'm coming up to the year, and I've always said throughout I'm going to do up to this point. I've never done the whole I'm giving up alcohol forever thing. Personally, I think it's probably a good thing for me to not drink. I think I'm better being alcohol free than I am when I'm having a few beers. I also do worry that I'm the kind of person that would have a couple of beers and it would quickly slide. It would be 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd be going, oh shit, you said you were going to have one, or you said you're going to have two. So I think that's me personally. I think it's really interesting to hear you talk about it, because what I have found going deeper into this kind of alcohol-free world is that there are some people who'll be listening to this now. Hopefully not, actually. You know, our listeners are wonderful and very open-minded and understand the kind of philosophy of our podcast. But if you said to someone who's alcohol-free, I spoke to someone earlier, for example, who said that she got ripped to shreds in her Facebook group. There's nothing to do with us, someone else's Facebook group, because she asked a question about, well, can I have 0.5 or below, or does that break my, you know, number of days or whatever? And this one woman kind of started really ripping into, what a stupid question. Of course you bloody can't. Actually, I think it's everyone's own personal choice. And if someone goes, actually, what you've done, which I think is really interesting, is you were in a cycle where you were drinking, not loads, not binging every night, but there's alcohol in your system. You've taken that break. You've had that reset. It's worked. Because you haven't gone... Because I think what a lot of people will do is they'll white knuckle it for 365 days or whatever, and kind of always look, almost wish their life away, looking forward to that date when I can drink again then. And they go straight back to the habits that they were doing before. And then what's the point of taking that break if you're just going to go straight back to the same habits? I think what you've basically said is that you decided to take a break and you've successfully changed your relationship with alcohol. And now the way you drink is completely different to how it was before. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like... Great. So when I stopped drinking, I saw the light, and you see the sort of positive. I saw how better life was when I wasn't drinking. That it's like, you know, why would I go back to being the way I was before? And the thing with 0.5 is really interesting, because that was a question I asked. Because when this guy recommended to try alcohol-free beers, so many of them were 0.5. And I was like, yeah, but that's sort of cheating. And then he said to me, but like a glass of orange juice can have 0.5 in it. Or a ripe banana's got 0.5 in it. And then I was just like, really? And because there's so much you don't know.
Yeah.
Because alcohol is in so many things but they don't have to label it, because it's 0.5 is virtually nothing. It's like you can't get drunk on it. You know, and people that kick off and say 0.5, you can't drink that. It's like, well, if they eat bananas, for instance, it's like, well, you're probably having 0.5, you know, more than, you know, the person who's drinking the 0.5 beer. But, you know, so yeah, it's
each individual, because I'm going to, in fact, guys, can we wrap this up, because I'm off to the pub after this, so if we can kind of get to the end. No, but I'm going to the pub with my brother after this, and I know that he's never gone alcohol free, he doesn't want to go alcohol free, but since I've started doing this, I know, because we're going to a pub where they've got alcohol free beers, I know that he'll have a pint, and then he'll have an alcohol free, and then he'll have a pint, and then he'll have an alcohol free, and whereas before, that would be 4 pints. You know, he's decided to integrate alcohol-free beer into his current lifestyle, and that's working for him. Because,
that's
like,
brilliant.
You say, he's not now waking up tomorrow going, oh shit, I've got to work. Oh, I feel dreadful. He's like, I had a couple of beers last night. I was there for a while, but I didn't get hammered because I did. And I think that's really important to say, is that we have got people who listen to this who are sober curious. They're not completely alcohol free. We've got some people who are thousands of days in, some people who are just starting, some people who will be able to successfully moderate, some people who won't. You know, I think it's really great that we managed to kind of talk to you about that side of things, because it is different for everybody. And I think just the fact that people are listening to this and thinking about it and actively thinking about reevaluating their relationship is great. There's not one size fits all thing.
Brilliant here. Starting point. I love the fact about your brother there, Ben. Tonight going out, he's already halved his alcohol consumption.
Yeah.
Which is massive, isn't it? Yeah. It's massive, you know, in the grand scheme of things. Mm. And Johnny, I know, you know, me and Ben, we butt heads, and Freddie as well, about the whole moderation debate, but it's what works for you, isn't it? And I think every credit, it's fabulous.
Yeah, I think just to chuck my 10 pence worth in, but I love the fact that we're the world's fastest growing alcohol-free podcast that's kind of saying that alcohol's okay. But my...
my, but it's not bad, is it? We're not preachy. We've always said that from the beginning. It's not easy.
No, and I don't know. My view on moderation changes depending on how badly I want a drink usually. But my view is, I think if you can genuinely look yourself in the mirror in the morning and know that you're living the life that you want to live, you're making your dreams come true, you've got no mental health issues more than the average person. If you could honestly look at yourself and say, I'm doing this, I've got this business, I'm happy, my family's happy, you know, all these things, and you're able to have a drink every now and again, I don't really see a problem with that, to be honest. I know personally, right now, where I am in my life, I can't do the things that I want to do in terms of business, money, fitness. I know I can't do that if I'm drinking. Once I've done all those things, if I do all those things, then maybe I will have a drink. But that's just me. And like I say, if someone else can do it and enjoy a beer every now and again, then I'm probably quite jealous, to be honest.
There's one example that I just thought of when you were talking, Freddie. So veganism, right, is huge. So, you know, to save the planet. So I've become really interested in climate change and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, cutting out our meat consumption, obviously, is quite a big factor. But I used to eat meat for lunch and dinner, growing up, for every meal. Whereas now, because I'm more conscious of, you know, the impact it can have, me and my wife will have meat maybe once or twice a week, as opposed to every night. So we haven't cut it out completely because we do like eating meat, but we know it's probably better not to. And then when we, you know, the meals that we're having now that haven't got meat in taste delicious. So it's like another habit, really.
If you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got.
Bang. Bosh.
Boom.
Bomb. I thought I'd throw one of those in there recently. So.
Johnny Johnson, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your story, a bit about your history. I love the fact that you've gone, yeah, I'm going to stop drinking. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to create an alcohol-free brand. Deal with it. I just think it's fantastic. Johnny, where can people find out, you know, more about your brand and where do you sell it?
So they can buy it on our website, so www.unlimited.beer, so that's UNLTD.beer. We're on Amazon, mostly online alcohol-free websites, and we're popping up in loads of bars and pubs and bottle shops around the country. So, yeah, just ask, because I think now bars reopening, it's started to explode.
Absolutely brilliant. Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been a really interesting chat. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
What another fantastic episode of Over the Influence. Absolutely brilliant stuff. We couldn't do it without our wonderful guests. Thank you so much. And thank you to you for listening. We really couldn't do it without you. If you would like further information about what we do within our alcohol-free community, I'll give you the website address in just a sec. One aspect of what we do are our forums. And this is where members can post privately about how their alcohol-free journey is going, if they are struggling, if they're needing a bit of a lift out of a particularly bad hour, bad night, bad weekend. Our members rally round, pull those people up, and before you know it, they are back on track. We help you through the difficult times. We celebrate your wins. We cheer on your milestones. We don't care if it is 7 days, 7 months, or 7 years. We have got members within our community on day one. We've got members that are on day 1,000. And all those people are supporting one another through our forums. It is just wonderful. If you'd like further information, just take a look at overtheinfluence.co.uk. And if you've got any questions at all and you'd like us to explain a little bit more about what we do, drop us an email. Not a problem. The email address is otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for listening.